Young People's Service. Young people. There you are. We're missing a few, aren't we there? And nobody from the community has come. Though, if I'm reading it right, if ever I wanted to sort of declare martial law or start a revolution, I should take myself up to the infant school up there, and I get quite a following. But I don't think the parents quite see it the same. Anyway, simple question this morning. Why did he come? Right? It's as simple as that, isn't it? Why did he come? Why did all of this happen? And we read about a virgin birth, and we could have read, and we'll read this evening, about a host of strange happenings and strange occurrences which go up to make what people out there will call the Christmas story. Story. Which kind of brings it on a par with Father Christmas and elves and goings on like that. And it's almost, that's what it is, a bit of fiction, a sort of fantasy out there. Nice story to tell people. Well, story, never a Bible story, is it? No, it's a clumsy word, narrative, but that's what it is. It's actually telling us things that happened, and they may be extraordinary things, but they're not a story. Not a story. What we just read, not a story. So it's in a kind of, you know, nursery rhymes book and all once upon a time kind of thing. I'm telling you real things, reality. But why did he come? Why do we have all that we have that we call, pardon the clumsy word, Christmas narrative? Right. Well, here we start in a curious place. I've been doing a little bit of this with the children around here. This didn't start the revolution, but I don't know. See where we go. Okay. Well, let's have a Q&A. So who's this? Who? You don't have to name him, but unless you know him, I don't know. But I think he's from Australia, actually. But go on, tell me what's going on here. What's he doing? Mr. Clifford's Specsavers, you know, is that ticket valid, he's saying, you know? Try me. It's as obvious as it looks. No. Oh, Mrs. Clifford. Thank you. Extra sweet. Electrician who has come, right? Why did he come? Well, he's come to fix the electrics. Mr. Flint was just telling me we've got an electrician who might fix the church clock so that it won't be 6 minutes fast all the time in perpetuity. So, somebody like this, although as I say, I think he's in Australia, so we won't quite have him. I think his call out charge would be, I dread to think. But anyway, he's come to fix the electrics. He didn't come because he heard you had some bad news, knocked on your door. Sorry to hear you had some bad news. I'm the electrician. I'm just passing by here. Let me sit with you. Or you're in hospital and you're needing some treatment, shoulder or something like that. And he comes, I'm the electrician. And I've come to help. And I don't think Mrs. Clifford would be amazed if that was it. And the NHS hasn't done brilliantly there. And it would have been pretty unbrilliantly here if he turned up. But if you've got a problem with the electrics, he's your man. Okay. He would be your man. The lights are all on the blink there. Something's packed up and, it's high stress time. He's the man you want to come and fix your electrics. Okay, we did okay with that one. Let's see how we do with this one. Again, you don't have to name him, but what's he come to fix? What's he come to fix? What's gone wrong? What's he come to fix here?
He's a plumber.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. A plumber. So, floods of water, you got a drip here, or worse than a drip there. The taps have all packed up there. You turn on, nothing comes through. You've got a leak out in the mains. He is your man. You need a plumber to come to sort you out. Why did he come? Well, he came to fix your water problem. That's why he showed up. So you knock on your door. You open the door. There he is with his tool bag there. Hello, I'm the plumber. You go, yes, what are you here for? Oh, just passing by. Thought you might like me to come and tell you a story or help fill in your tax return or something like that. You know, that's strange. I suspect you're a plumber and I didn't need you. You come to fix my tap. but I'll call you if I need you. So he'd only come if you got a problem with your taps and your water supply. That's why he would come. Okay. Sorry, it's a bit male, all this stuff, isn't it? Really? Try to find a... Is that a woman? That'd be a woman. There you go. What's going on here? Why have they come? Or him, her, come? Why have they come? Are they come here to drop a parcel in? Or whatever there? Ah, it is. Mr. Street, thank you. Very good. Extra sweet. There it is. So that's why they've come. So here in Crich, Friday, they come. We hear them about 7 o'clock through the marketplace. Remember, it's recycling, which day, you know, etc. But that's why they've come. So we're not sat at home, sort of midday. Suddenly the truck rolls up and they all jump out in their yellow high-vis, knock on the door and say, oh, hello there, can we help you with the garden? Or heard you had a headache, just drop by to see how you're doing. You'd be amazed if they did that. Well, we didn't ask you to come and do this. We come and do the bins for us. That's a job that needs doing. And we understand perfectly why you come to Crich on a Friday morning or wherever in Belper, or South Normanton, wherever else it might be, a different day of the week. Yeah, they came for a reason, didn't they? That's why they've come. They've come to do a job. They've come for a reason, whether it's fix electrics or plumbing, if your water's in probs, or if it's bin day and your bins are piled high there. And well, it's a grim one, isn't it, after Christmas, because they're always a bit late. And so it all piles up. And we're mighty glad when they've come and taken it away. And we'd be surprised, I say, if the bin lorry just turned up and they're all there in their high-vis and they were doing Christmas carol singing or something like that. We go, that's, I don't quite get that one. Didn't see that one coming, if you like. So we have, don't we, the Christmas narrative. We have extraordinary things that happen. We have Mary expecting a child, and by supernatural means, traveling away from Nazareth, traveling with her husband Joseph, who, as we read, was a little bit worried that she was pregnant. And this suggested that this was not a good woman to be with. And the angel had to speak to him in a dream to tell him, no, this is God at work. Don't worry. Go forward, Joseph. Which, of course, he did. And we know that they came to Bethlehem, and you all know all this, and there's the detail of it, much as we can sort of grasp it. There's a stable, there's going to be a manger in it, and well, there's the manger there, feed your animals and that in the usual way, and yet it's containing here the Son of God who's come into the world. And people out there will be able to tell you and me the detail of that as well as any of us. They'll be able to tell you about a star. They'll be able to tell you about shepherds who had angels telling them in the fields that they're to go to Bethlehem and see this great sight. And they'll know too about wise men who are in the East and who come with their gifts. And if I can get them right, they'll actually bow down. There they are. And actually bow down to him and worship him. And they'll tell you all of that. They'll tell you it all. You know, the star which goes above there. But for all of that, they won't be able to answer that. They won't be able to tell you or me why he came. Not for the most part. They won't be able to answer my question. So I saw in a church the other day a folder, you know, Christmas invitation. And it was telling me, may you know the love, joy, and peace. I think those are the three words, love, joy, and peace, that Christ's birth brings you this Christmas. Right. Well, sure, it does actually bring love, joy, and peace and a host of other things. But how? There was something missing. It's like there's this great event, but why? How is it going to bring love, joy, and peace? How does it connect with that? And there's something missing in the middle. And really, it's this question here, unanswered. The question stays unanswered. Why did he come? Well, I think you will know the answer to this question. And so I'll put that up there because we need saving from our sin. Simple answer. We need saving from our sin, which has left us far from God and left us not pleasing God, but displeasing him, not in a place where we're loving God, but where we're actually not loving him and not doing his commandments and not following his ways, not respecting him, not honoring him, far, far, far from him. And really, if God had decided that's enough, that is it, they are doing what they're doing, I'm not going to do anything for them, none of that will be there. No star, no wise men, no angels talking to shepherds in the fields, no family that have to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem and amazingly have give birth to a child and lay him in a manger. None of it. None of that would have happened if God had decided, leave them in their sin. Leave them where they are, far away from me. They don't love me. They're not interested. There's no respect or honor for me. Leave them there. Christmas is saying that was not God's conclusion. And indeed, had we read all the Old Testament through, we would know that is not God's conclusion. Isaiah 11 talked about him coming. And it talked about Gentiles seeking him right at the end. Well, here they are. These aren't Jewish people. These are Gentiles. And they come from miles away. But they've come because he's called them. So this is telling us, yeah, we need saving from our sin. True. But God is going to do something for us. Could have left us and could have said enough. But he promised he would do something, and do something he will. Well, this is a bit more reality, isn't it? We need saving from our sin. We don't realize it. So the people out there don't realize it. And sadly, the church is often saying, and we won't tell you it. We'll say, Christmas, star, shepherds, family, wise men, you get love, joy, and peace. And somehow we won't tell you the connecting bit and how it works and the mechanics. We'll just let it happen and hope you feel happy at this time of the year and you feel good about yourself, and that will be nice. See, because we don't realize that we need saving from our sin. That is the big revelation. That is the big thing to happen to us, is to realize I'm a sinner. I actually need saving. God is real. He's more real than I thought he was. He's very, very real. I can't see him, and I can't see into eternity, and I can't see the judgment day, but suddenly it's becoming very, very real. And I'm not there. I won't be able to pass on that day, like big exam day, isn't it? I'm going to fail it. And I'm going to fail it because I can't offer God what God's looking for. God's looking for truth in the inward part. He's looking for wisdom here, spiritual wisdom. He's looking for me untiringly, day in, day out, serving him, loving him, honoring him. I can't offer that. And that day will mean fail. It's more than fail, isn't it? It's not just, well, here's a certificate and clear off. It's go to hell. Go to hell. Depart from me. Because I never knew you. You weren't one of my people. Go from me. And that's going to be a shock for an awful lot of people who thought Christmas, love, joy, peace, how sweet, how nice, nothing to worry about here. It's actually taken away their realization that they need saving from their sin. So, finally, what do we need? What do we need? Well, who do we need? We need him to come. If we're going to be saved from our sin, and indeed woken up to realize that, we need him. We need him. And all of this extraordinary way in which it happens, part fulfills prophecy and scripture. These things were foretold, virgin birth, that was in there, the Gentiles will seek him, that's in here as well, place Bethlehem, we could have read Micah 5 verse 2 and following, that's in there, it's all there, it's all there, needed to be there. But this is telling us, take notice, pay attention, this is no ordinary birth, because none of this is ordinary stuff. It didn't happen when you were born, when I was born, I didn't have wise men there traipsing across from wherever there on the ferry to come and be there at my cradle in Redhill General Hospital, wherever it was. Didn't happen. Because this is the birth that is the most important birth that has ever been. And God is saying, pay attention. All of this, watch him. Look at this child. Look at this person who has come. And follow him. Follow him from the cradle. Follow his journey in life. See what he does. See how he talks. See how he reacts. See what's in his mind and where his heart is. See him in all his difficulties and all the people that hated him and how he responded to that. See the miracles he did. See his teaching and how amazing that was. And you'll know where he's going to go, don't you? He's got to go to the cross. He's got to go to the cross. He's got to go there. He's got to have a body to go there because God cannot die, okay? God cannot die. But here's the amazing thing. In a sense, he can. The God-man, Jesus Christ, can die if he's got a body, if he's a human. And I tell you this, he's fully, fully human. So on he goes, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate. He can die on the cross. He can do the impossible. He can do what seems to be incredible. You know, the immortal dies, as Charles Wesley puts it in his hymn. It boggles us. Well, no, God himself didn't die, strictly speaking. But the Lord Jesus Christ certainly died, and he had to die. That's why he had to come. He had to go through all this birth, all of this total, absolute humanity in order to die. Because death is an intruder, isn't it? Death's an enemy. Death is a result of sin. And so he's going to die, take that penalty in himself so that you and I can be free, so we can be forgiven. So you and I can actually have love, joy, peace, and lots of other good things. There's Christmas, not the gifts and the prizzies, something for the soul, a present to the soul, a gift for us, eternal life. No other gift like it. No other hope. Nothing else compares out there, whatever people may promise you. Forget it. This is where it is. And to know your sin forgiven, and to know you have peace with God, and to have the joy at the thought of heaven, well, that is beyond anything you can buy with money, but it's there for you. Repent and believe the good news, and it's all yours. So why did he come? Yep, he came to do something very particular, very specific, just as those people there, well, they don't just turn up for any reason. They've come to do a job. Well, he has. He's come save us from our sins. He's come to fix the biggest problem that there is. And I can reliably inform you, he did it perfectly. And you today can trust in a great Savior. This is telling you, pay attention to him and nobody else for salvation. And you surely will find the promise of love and joy, God's love to your soul, the peace of God that passes understanding, joy inexpressible and full of glory. It's just within reach if you believe. Well, let's sing our concluding hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory, 160.